All right, tonight we're going to start reading Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to start in verse 10. And this is talking about spiritual warfare and spiritual armor. And the last thing he closes the chapter with is prayer. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, or the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Surrounding us right now as we stand or sit in this room is a spiritual battle going on. It's a spiritual battle for your heart, for my heart, for all the hearts that are here. There's a spiritual battle going on in the homes where people didn't come to church tonight. The battle goes on. The sad thing is many Christians don't understand what the battle is. It's spiritual, not physical. This is the battle between good and evil, between light and darkness. But amazingly, most Christians, even Christians, don't understand the battle. And so tonight I want to talk to you about the fact that nobody is immune to the consequences of the spiritual battle that's going on. We need to be alert, as it says in the book of Ephesians, and we need to effectually pray, not just for ourselves. We need to learn how to pray for our family. We need to learn how to pray for our friends, our neighbors, our churches, our government, because we are in a spiritual battle. So tonight we're in Ephesians chapter 6. The place of prayer is spiritual in the battle for your heart. Last week, or a few weeks ago, we learned about the armor of God. This week, we're going to talk about how we're supposed to fight in that armor. Prayer is the closing theme after the armor of God. Prayer is what puts it all together and keeps it functioning properly. It's not mentioned as part of the armor because it's much more than the armor. Prayer is not merely another godly weapon, as important as all those weapons are that are mentioned. Prayer is the actual spiritual air that we breathe as Christians that empowers us to use effectively the armor of God in our lives. And so I want to pick up in Ephesians 6:18. It says, and pray in the Spirit on how many occasions? All occasions. With how many kinds of prayers? All kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert in how often? Always keep on praying. And for how many of the Lord's people? For all. In that one verse, the word all and the word always is used 4 times. I think what the Lord wants us to realize is this is very, very important. And then he goes on and says, pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. The grammar in Ephesians chapter 6 is very instructive. When he finishes verse 17, we have verse 17, verse 18. It looks almost like another paragraph, but it's not. When the Apostle Paul is speaking about the armor of God, he goes right into prayer. It's like almost he puts a comma there, not a period. He wants us to know that prayer is an important part of our weapons to fight against Satan and against his hordes. We fight this battle, the spiritual battle we're all in. Satan wants you. He would like to destroy your marriage. He'd like to destroy your friendships. He'd like to destroy your children. He'd like to destroy this church. And so the battle goes on. You are the person in between. You are the person that God has put right now in this very place with your very family to use you to intercede in prayer for those that you say you love. And it's so important we do that. It's by prayer that we will stand firm. It's by prayer that our families get saved. It's by prayer that we live by the truth and not by lies. Because today, we're hearing so many lies, you can't even tell what's the truth anymore. It's unbelievable what we're being reported to. You listen to CNN, you hear it one way. You listen to Fox News and it's 180 degrees the other way. And you wonder, who's telling me the truth? Folks, this is important because Satan is the father of lies. And he's lying to us all the time. And by prayer, we can not only discern the lies, but we can help others come to the truth as well. It's by prayer that we practice the righteousness that we have. It's by prayer that we exercise our faith. It's by prayer that we lean into our salvation and trust it completely. And it's by prayer that we gain wisdom from God's word. So many Christians read God's word with no thought of praying at all. We have an instructor when we read the word of God, the Holy Spirit. He expects us to acknowledge him and ask him to fill us with wisdom as we're reading it. If you go into the word of God and you read it and you wonder, why am I getting nothing out of this? It may very well be because you're not praying about it. You're not seeking God in it. I just want to pray my three chapters today. I got to do my check on my box. Folks, that's not the way to read the Word of God. Nothing wrong with reading three chapters. I think that's wonderful. But if you do without prayer, you're not going to get much. We need to be people that really move into prayer. A world champion bodybuilder went on a tour that he had a sponsor that toured him to go across Africa and show people what could be done with the body if you just worked with his equipment. And so this bodybuilder really had built up a beautiful body. And he went around Africa and he was showing, you know, the pauses and the poses and all that. And one of the Indian chiefs came up and through an interpreter, he asked the man that was posing, he said, you know, your body is the most impressive body I've ever seen for muscles. He said, it's wonderful. And of course, the weight builder through the interpreter said, well, thank you very much. I'm used to that. But the man didn't stop. The chief of the tribe didn't stop. He said, if I can ask you a question. He says, what do you use those muscles for? And the weight builder said, well, wait a minute. I'm a weight builder. This is my job. This is what I do. And the chief said, you mean you don't use those muscles for anything else? And the man said, no. And the chief went away shaking his head. And he said, what a waste. Do you know prayer is the same way? You can say you pray. You can even show the effects sometimes of the prayer. But if you don't use it with the armor of God and you're not using it for your good, for God's glory, for others' benefit, it does no good. There are people that talk about prayer a lot, but they don't pray. There are people even that instruct on prayer that don't pray. The Lord wants all of us to get hungry. And what he wants us to do is to use it so that we glorify our God and we bless others with our prayers. The Lord has put you into this position, whether you're the grandpa, the grandma, the friend, the neighbor. He's put you where you are because he wants to use you. And one of the greatest avenues he can use you in is the avenue of prayer. Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person, God says, does what? It does much. It has a great effect. And yet we see so many that are prayerless. So prayer comes in. I want to read you this because to me this is very exciting. Remember the Lord said, unless you have faith as a child, you'll never enter in. The faith of a child is so exciting because everything's new, everything's exciting. I want to read you this. It says some 20 years ago, the writer, talking about the one who wrote this little illustration, was studying in a theological college. One morning early, a fellow student burst into the room holding an open Bible in his hand. He was at the time only a brand new convert in Christ, so he was a baby in Christ, really. He cried excitedly, his face all aglow with mingled joy and surprise. Do you believe it? Is it true? Believe what? I asked, glancing at the open Bible with some astonishment. Why, this. And he began reading Matthew 21, verse 21. Jesus replied, I tell you, if you have the faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea and it'll be done. If you believe, you'll receive whatever you asked for in prayer. Do you believe it? He said. Is it true? Yes, I replied with much surprise at his excitement. Of course it's true. Of course I believe it. Yet through my mind there flash all manner of thoughts. Well, that's just simply wonderful, he said. It seems to me to be absolutely limitless. Why don't we pray more? And as he went away, leaving me thinking hard, I had never looked at those verses quite in that way. As the door closed, I had a vision of my Savior and his love and his power, such as I never had before. A vision of a life of prayer. Folks, that's how exciting prayer can be. Anything you ask for, Jesus said, and you believe, it'll be done. Why don't we get excited? What a promise. So I want to talk to you about how should we pray? Prayer is the energy that enables the Christian soldier to be effective for his master. It's through prayer that we put the armor on. We don't just put it on every day. We pray about it as we put it on. We mean business with God. We want to stand for our Lord. When you yield the sword of God, you better be praying. Because you can yield the sword of God and have it not effectual at all. The word of God without faith, the word of God without prayer is what? It's nothing. Satan laughs until he sees a Christian praying. And then he's done laughing. I want to tell you, I believe the missing ingredient in most Christians' personal life is a lack of prayer. I believe the missing instrument in most churches is a lack of serious prayer. Prayer. We need to be those people that have a faith and a trust in God that whatever he asks in faith, believing, he'll do. When we have that kind of faith, we're going to be praying far more than we are. We're going to be praying with zeal because I really believe it's going to get done. In Ephesians 6:18 again, he says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. Do you know what kinds of prayers most Christians pray? Lord, I want this, and I want that, and I want that, and I want that. There are other kinds of prayer. There's supplication. Somebody else needs something, Lord, and I want to bring them to your attention. There's thanksgiving. The Lord says every prayer we pray should be prayed with thanksgiving. Lord, you were faithful here, you were faithful here, you've been faithful here, and I expect with all my heart, Lord, you're going to be faithful here. The Lord answers those kinds of prayers. But when we just go to him and say, Lord, I'd like that new Cadillac, and I need a new car, and my washer's broke, and I need that fixed. Wait a minute, something's wrong. When we look at the Apostle Paul's prayer, anybody know where Paul is as he's writing the book of Ephesians? Paul's in jail. Paul's in a Roman jail. He's probably got his hands and his feet in the stocks. Is he praying? We read verses 18 through 20. Is he praying for his personal relief from jail? Is he praying the Lord will take away the pain on his ankles because of the steel handcuffed almost like things that are on his feet? If you can imagine sitting with something gripping around your ankles all day and your wrist, folks, he could have been praying, Lord, help me. I got a problem. But he wasn't. That wasn't what his stress was. So we pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So we pray at all times. We have hours, at least I do sometimes, when I'm not praying at all. You know that's a shame? It's not good. Our Lord went through his whole life praying, praying, praying everywhere he went. Sometimes he spent a whole night in prayer. We need to be those that get excited about prayer, praying at all times in the Spirit. In other words, Lord, how would you have me pray? Here's the situation, but maybe I'm not praying the right way. Maybe I'm praying, Lord, release me from my problem. And instead, I ought to be praying as the Apostle Paul did, Lord, use me in this problem. Fill me with your power. That's what Paul was praying. And we need to learn from that. When should we pray? The Bible says pray at all times. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it simply says pray continually. Do you know anybody that does that? I don't. Including me. I don't. Why? Because we don't believe enough. That's why. It's because we don't experience it and we don't walk in it. Jesus Christ was constantly praying at all times. Now, why should we pray at all times? If you're actually in a battle zone, and we are, whether you know it or not, what would you expect your enemy to do? When is he going to attack you? When you're not paying attention. When you're just kind of going through the motions, that's when he's going to attack. When is he going to attack your children and mine and your grandchildren and mine? When they're just going through their normal day, nothing special going on. That's why we need to be praying at all times. A surprise attack on a Christian can take us unawares, and we may wind up doing things we never thought we would do. So it's extremely important. He says comprehensive prayer. With all prayer and supplication. So again, Ephesians 6:18, I just want to stress all the times all is used because it's very important. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Our Lord tells us that prayer is more than just asking God for things. Prayer is supplication, intercession, thanksgiving, just to name a few different types of prayer. All those things should be going on in our lives all the time. Thanksgiving, not just at Thanksgiving, but thanksgiving all the way through. So many Christians I see get bitter because one or two things didn't get answered in their prayer life, and instead of thanking the Lord for the 9,900 things he's done, you get locked into those two things that for reasons only known to God that he didn't answer the way you wanted. Folks, our Lord Jesus prayed, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Don't be surprised when you pray something that's not according to God's will. If our Lord Jesus, because he was a man, could pray something opposite of what God's perfect will is, don't be surprised that sometimes you're praying out of the will of God. He may have to correct that. But that's okay. At least you're praying. We should be alert and continually watching because we are in a battle. We need to pray with our eyes open. This is important. A lot of people think the only time I can pray is when I have my eyes closed and my hands folded. Folks, our Lord prayed as he was walking along. And in fact, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 40, then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray, so you'll not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Folks, Jesus told them he's going to be crucified. He asked them to sit and pray with him. Instead of sitting and praying, they all fell asleep. 3 times he woke them up. Folks, he wants us to be with him in prayer. Now, obviously, we do need to sleep. Jesus needed to sleep too. But there are times when we ought to be busy praying, even if it means we lose some sleep. Some of these things are extremely important. Connected prayer always keeps praying for the Lord's people. When Jesus prayed the Lord's Prayer, you remember how he started it? In Matthew 6, verse 9, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Our Father. So often we think our prayer has to be alone. It has to be about me. The Lord does not want us praying just for ourselves. We are interconnected, whether you know it or not. Everybody in this room is interconnected. I need your prayers and you need mine. We should be praying for each other. So, do you know who the most influential people are in this world? If you looked at Time magazine, who would you see as the most influential? Maybe it'd be President Biden or some other president. Maybe it'd be Putin with the wars going on. Maybe some great big businessman worth billions and billions of dollars. Do you know who the Lord says is the most important people in this world? It's none of the above. It's people who know how to pray. It's people who take time to pray. Dr. S.D. Gordon said it this way: "The great people of the earth today are the people who pray. I do not mean people who talk about prayer. No, those who say they believe in prayer, nor yet even those who can explain about prayer. But I mean those people who take time and pray. They have not time. It must be taken from something else. This something else is important, very important and pressing, but still less important and less pressing than prayer." Folks, if you're going to take time to pray, it's got to come from something. So many Christians have 3 hours a night to watch television and no time for prayer. Something's wrong. We have to examine our lives and ask ourselves, how much prayer is enough prayer? And that's going to vary all through our lives. But surely if you're spending 3 hours a night watching television and 5 minutes praying, you've got something upside down. You have to ask the Lord about that. In James chapter 5, verse 16, he says, "Therefore confess your faults to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." I mentioned that we need to be praying for each other. Sometimes you have to tell a brother or sister, "I am struggling in this area. Would you pray for me?" Now be careful who you tell that to, because some people can't keep their mouth shut. If somebody comes to you and asks you to pray for them, that should be between you and the Lord. That's it. Nobody else gets told unless that person asks you to tell somebody else. And when people learn that you're somebody that knows how to keep your mouth shut, you're going to get lots of prayer requests because people need prayer. People have families. I've got a grandson right now. Just spent 3 or 4 hours with him. He's unsaved. He doesn't believe what we believe. He doesn't believe what his own dad believes. He doesn't believe what his own mother believes. He doesn't believe what I believe or Mimi. We pray for that boy. But not a boy. He's in mid-30s. Folks, we need to be praying. This is important. That young man and his wife, and now they've got a little baby that they're going to raise with no thought of Jesus Christ. Do we need to be praying? I want to tell you, we need to be praying. It's heartbreaking. They're going to wind up, if the Lord doesn't touch their heart, they're going to wind up in the lake of fire. for all eternity. Is it worth me taking 10 minutes or 5 minutes a day to pray for that young person? I want to tell you it is. We better take more than that. We need to be those that care. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So when we pray, one step we have to watch and constantly examine and ask the Lord to examine us, are we living a righteous life? Nobody lives a perfect life. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you have to be perfect to pray, or nobody would be praying. But when you do get into sin, and we all do you confess it quickly? Do you repent of it quickly? I worked with the man in the shop, and I think I mentioned this before. This is way back in Plant 2. This is 50 years ago. I had gotten saved, been saved 5 or 6 years, and the guys knew that I witnessed and prayed and so on. And a man came to me at work, and he said, would you pray for my 2 daughters? And I said, well, what do your daughters need? He said, well, they're both living in active sin. And I said, I'll be glad to pray for them, but why aren't you praying for them? He said, I can't. And I said, why can't you pray? He was a Christian. I knew he claimed to be a Christian. I said, why can't you pray for your daughters? He said, well, every morning at 2 o'clock, I wake up out of bed, no alarm clock, no nothing. The Playboy channel has my favorite movie on at 2 o'clock every morning. So every morning, as a Christian man, he gets up and watches pornographic videos on his TV, and now his daughters are getting into the same habits, and now he's concerned, but not concerned enough to quit. You cannot pray to the Lord and ask him to do something for you or for your family when you're living in sin. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. This is important because people need you. Your family needs you. You're the intercessor. I hope that you people in your family know they can come to you and ask you to pray just between you and them, and that's where it stays, and they expect you to be praying. This is an important ministry. Years ago, I ran across, it's a fairly simple acrostic, and I'm just going to give it to you. It's ACTS, like the book of Acts, A-C-T-S. When we start praying to the Lord, it should start off with adoration. That's the A. Praising God for who he is, for what he's done, and what he's promised to do. The Lord says he inhabits the praises of his people. So start your prayer with praising God, adoring God. Then confession, A-C. C is confession. Express your honest, heartfelt sorrow over your sin and shortcomings. Ask the Lord to heal you. Ask the Lord to bless you and help you to repent and to live right. Get that right. And then the word, letter T, thanksgiving. Take time to give God for thanks for all the blessings he's given. He loves that. And then finally, S is supplication. Now it's time to ask the Lord for the next needs that you have. But be sure that you adore him. Be sure that you confess your sin and be sure that you give thanksgiving. Then your prayers are going to take on a new life. So why should we pray? Or why should we pray? Prayer is not a petition for the battle. Prayer is the battle. You can't win this battle without prayer. You can be the most knowledgeable Christian that there is. You can know all the Bible and all the facts. But if you are not a prayer warrior, you're not going to succeed. Satan is more knowledgeable of the Bible than you are, than I am. He knows the Bible. But without prayer, your head knowledge without a heart knowledge does you no good. Prayer, Samuel Tradwick, the great Christian of yesteryear, put it this way. He said, Satan fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil and mocks our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. Folks, I got to tell you, we need to be more prayer warriors. Paul concludes the passage on prayer and the armament of God, asking us not only to pray for others, but to pray for him. Now, we can't pray for Paul now. This is people of his day, okay? Paul's in heaven now. But Ephesians 6:19, pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. If I was in jail like Paul was, my letter to you might be, pray for me that the Lord will release me so I can have an effective ministry. Do you know that when Paul was in chains, Paul wrote to one of the churches and said, the entire imperial guard has heard the gospel? Who did they hear it from? They heard it from Paul. All day long, Paul's jailed and chained between two guards. And instead of fearing them beating him up, he's giving them the gospel. Folks, no matter where you are, it's a mission field. Even a jail can become a mission field. He didn't ask prayer to get out of jail. He didn't ask prayer that everything might go well for him. He asked for prayer that he might glorify God in any situation he's in. And that's why sometimes our prayers don't have power. Because it's all about me. It's all about what I want. It's all about me having a happy, easy life. That's not what we're here for. We're here to do battle. And the battle goes on. And we need to be those that are busy praying. I want to read you this from Billy Graham. This is a 1975 book called Angels, God's Secret Agents. And this is what he wrote about one of the missionaries, the Reverend John G. Patton, pioneer missionary to the New Hebrides Islands, told a thrilling story involving protective care of angels. Hostile natives surrounded his mission headquarters one night, intent on burning the Pattons out and killing them after they came out of the house. John Patton and his wife prayed all during their terror-filled night that God would deliver them. When daylight came, they were amazed to see that unaccountably the attackers had left. They thanked God for delivering them. A year later, the chief of the tribe was converted to Jesus Christ. And Mr. Patton, remembering what had happened, asked the chief what had kept him and his men from burning down the house and killing them. The chief replied in surprise, "Who were all those men you had with you there?" The missionary answered, "There were no men, just my wife and I." The chief argued that they had seen many men standing guard, hundreds of big men in shining garments with drawn swords in their hands. They seemed to circle the entire mission station, so the natives were afraid to attack. Only then did Mr. Patton realize that God had sent his angels to protect them. The chief agreed that there was no other explanation. Could it be that God had sent a legion of angels to protect his servants whose lives were being endangered? The Bible tells us in Psalm 91, verse 9, "If you say, 'The Lord is my refuge,' and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so you'll not strike your foot against a stone." And people will say, well, that's referring to Jesus Christ and his ministry on earth. I want to tell you, that's referring to every single Christian. Now, we know that Jesus Christ eventually was crucified, but that was also part of God's ministry for him to fulfill. We pray for safety. We pray for the Lord, bless me, use me how you want. But how often are we praying, "Lord, no matter what it costs, I want to glorify you"? That's what Jesus did when he prayed, "Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He was saying, "Lord, use me however you want." God has a plan. Now, if you just think of this life and your life in it, it's not going to wind up well for almost all of us in this room, because we are going to die in this life. But if you take into account eternity, I'm not upset about dying at all anymore. In fact, I'm kind of looking forward to it. This old body's getting tired. It doesn't operate the way it did. Everything's different than it used to be. I'm looking forward to a new body now. I hope you are. I want to serve as long as I can serve and do what I can, but I realize the end is coming. And I'm not praying for longer life. I'm praying for life as long as the Lord wants to use me. But when the time is up, man, I'm going to heaven. I hope you're not so concerned about this life that you forget we've got something far better coming. We are here in this time. Esther's uncle said, "Who knows but what you're here for such a time as this?" My friends, that's true of you and that's true of me. God has put us on assignment in this generation. This is our time to minister. This is our time to pray. This is our time to help our families and friends come to know Christ. Ask the Lord to bless you and use you, and believe it or not, He will. Could it be time to take our prayer lives to the next level? Maybe you're only praying 5 minutes a day. Could it be time to double, triple? I don't know. Could it be time to get serious about the fact that our children, our grandchildren are lost and walking away from God instead of towards God? Could it be time to take some time for serious, effectual, fervent prayer? Could it be time in our nation? We passed out prayer sheets here 3 months ago, 2 months ago. 5 minutes of prayer a day for our nation. If we don't get serious and start praying for our nation, we're about to self-destruct. I don't know if you understand that or not. A nation that will not turn back to God, the time is limited. And we are walking away from God so fast as a nation. I went to a funeral yesterday. And at the funeral yesterday, I and Dave go calling here, not every Saturday, but many Saturdays. And as we go up and down the roads around this area, we've come across quite a few people that go to the Methodist Church up in Burt. And they have disassociated with the Methodist Church up in Burt. When I went to a funeral Saturday, I sat across from the table from two people. I went to a Methodist church because that was a funeral. The man that died, one of my clients, was a United Methodist pastor for 40 years. The people were leaving that United Methodist church because they were going global. Global Methodism today is walking away from the Lord. Is it time for us to pray for the Methodist Church? I want to tell you, many of these little churches around the country are standing up and saying, "No, as for me and my family, we are going to live for the Lord." That Methodist Church up in Burt, I would advise people, go there. It's a good church. Would I agree with everything taught? No, I wouldn't, because I'm not Methodist. But you will get the gospel there. You'll get the truth there. Folks, I want to encourage you, pray for your church. I'm about ready to retire. I just tell you the truth. Maybe 4 more years. I don't know how many more, but the old body's given out. When that happens, what's going to happen to this church? If we had to hire a young man that needed to make a living, it's not going to happen. Is it time to pray for our church that we grow enough so that when the time comes, we got enough people here to support somebody? I know our church isn't the whole world, but this little church, I think I've been here, it'll be 30 years next year, have touched a lot of lives. It's worth praying about. I would love to see this little church go another 50 years because they're going to touch lives. The little boy right next door, Braxton, some of you know him, he sits over here and Braxton got touched through the ministry of this church. He was at Vacation Bible School this year and got saved. We had 6 children just this year get saved in our church? Is that worth praying to keep it going? I want to tell you, suppose we only had 6 children for the next 50 years this church is open. You know, that's 300 people that are going to get saved. Folks, little churches are valuable. Could it be time to strive to live a holy life so that God can and will answer your prayers? One of the major reasons why people don't live godly lives is they really don't think it matters. Folks, my family matters. I want to live for the Lord. I want my life to make a difference in their life. And the only way that can happen is through effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, a righteous woman. And I just want to encourage you, get this thing in your heart. So we're going to sing in closing tonight, 160.